Chapter 59. Mama Kay had saved Logan's life today. His little army, consisting of Lord General Aegon, Mama Kay, and Aegon's dogs, was riding into the rebel camp to cheers. It would have been much different if Mama Kay hadn't planted rumors that Logan was returning after triumphing over the worst horrors of them all. Without the rumors as forerunners, the band would have been greeted as an unknown army, and Tara Grayson could have had Logan killed. Doubtless, many tears would have been shed afterward about the terrible mistake. The old, naive Logan wouldn't have believed that Tara Grayson would do such a thing. Logan the Holer knew differently. He was a changed man, quieter, sobered. He knew all too well what people would do when they were threatened. And Tara Grayson had to see Logan as a threat. She'd rallied support for the last 3 months. She'd survived assassination attempts and lost family members. She'd assembled an army and had brought it to the eve of battle, all to be queen. Logan's appearance threatened to make her ambition implode on the eve of her triumph. His legitimacy was unquestionable. He'd come from the nation's leading family. He'd been declared the Gunder's heir, and he'd married into the Gunder family. Numerous families had sworn fealty to Tara Grayson only because they had thought they were free of their earlier oaths to the Gyres. Any other time, Logan would have gone to Havermere and sent missives to all the families in the realm, including the Graysons. He would have given Tara a chance to see her coalition falling apart and then offered her a suitable position. This wasn't any other time. The rebel army was assembled less than a mile from the God Kings. The Cenarians outnumbered the Caladoran army 2-1. The Caladorans had Meisters and Verdmeisters, but it still looked like a sure victory. To Logan, Aegon, and Mama Kay, it looked like a Cenarian massacre in the offing. So here he was, riding at the head of his tiny army of 100, into the heart of the rebel camp. He was lucky it was an overcast day, because after 3 months in the hole, his eyes couldn't handle full daylight. Squinting didn't lend itself to a particularly regal look. They were nearing the cluster of the nobles' pavilions when a group of a dozen horsemen rode out to meet them. They were led by an officer carrying an unstrung Alatiran longbow like a staff. Logan and his army came to a stop.
"Declare yourself," Sergeant Gamble said.
"This,"
Aegon said loudly enough for the man and the bystanders to hear,
"is King Logan Gyre. By law and tradition, heir to the throne, and now king of our great land. The king is dead. Long live the king."
It was a declaration of war, and the word would blaze through the camp within minutes. Mama Kay had already sent word to Logan's steward, and the Gyre men-at-arms were already positioned nearest the noble pavilions. They cheered.
"The queen will see you now, my lord," Sergeant Gamble said.
Logan dismounted in front of Tara Grayson's pavilion. When Mama Kay and Aegon Brandt made to follow him, the guards stopped them.
"Only you, sir,"
one of them said. Logan stared at the man. He said nothing. For a moment, he let the beast rise within. He had not lived through hell to be stopped by a guard. The feeling flew past determination to rage. He felt his forearm tingle. The guard stepped back and swallowed.
"My lord," he said weakly, "only nobles are..."
Logan stared at him, and the words dried up. Mama Kay and Aegon followed him inside. The queen's pavilion was huge. Tables and maps and nobles were scattered liberally around the interior. Some of the men looked positively comical, their fat squashed into armor they hadn't donned in 20 years. Black and white tiles sat in two bowls on one of the tables. By the gods, they're voting on their battle plan. Beside Mama Kay,
Brant Aegon made a strangled sound of outrage. Mama Kay was looking around the room as quickly as she could, counting allies, potential allies, and sure enemies. She knew she could give Logan a crown if he gave her 2 weeks to work her special brand of truth. With only 1 day until a major battle against the one enemy everyone hated, the odds changed drastically. Her only hope was that someone disposable would attack her, or Logan, or Brant Aegon first. Then she could ruin him, and making an implacable foe of him wouldn't hurt Logan too much.
"Why, Logan Gyre, how the mighty have fallen," Tara Grayson said, emerging from behind several taller lords, sashaying across the luxurious rugs. "Who would have expected you to appear in the company of whores and has-beens? Or is it cripples and cunts?"
The nobles snickered.
"Looking to get into the business?"
Mama Kay asked.
You could have heard a feather drop in the sudden silence.
Mama Kay couldn't care less about their shock. Tara Grayson had greeted Logan with claws out. That wasn't good. A young man pushed forward from the crowd.
"If you speak like that again, I'll kill you myself,"
Luke Grayson said. He was Tara's brother, 17 years old, handsome, and a damned fool.
"Oh, Luke, you have no idea. I know your secret. I could end you right now."
Except that she couldn't. Here, now, wild truths delivered without prelude wouldn't be believed. Tara Grayson would only dig in her heels.
"Pardon me," Mama Kay said. "Titles are switching hands so fast recently I'd forgotten I was speaking to a duchess."
"Queen," Luke said. "Your queen!" Mama Kay lifted her eyebrows as if he were trying to put one over on her. A little reminder to everyone how far and how fast Tara Grayson was attempting to rise.
"But here stands the rightful king," Mama Kay said, "designated heir by King Gunder the Ninth and received by common acclamation, the man to whom you've already pledged fealty." But she knew she'd already lost. She saw it in the defiance, the absolute hatred in Tara Grayson's face.
"That's enough, Guinevere," Logan said.
She smiled her acquiescence. She stepped back, her head down, abruptly meek.
"May I remind everyone," a voice near the maps said, "that tomorrow we face the God King and his witches?"
It was Count Drake, ever the peacemaker.
"We need no reminders," Tara Grayson said. "We have our army, we have our battlefield, we have the advantage, and in a few more moments we'll have our battle plan."
"No,"
Aegon said.
"Excuse me?"
Tara asked, indignant.
"You have His Majesty's army," Aegon said.
"My lords, many of you were all there at the feast before the coup. Garrett Urver, your father, died beside me in the North Tower, as did your uncle, Bran Brayton. They died going to save our king, Logan Gyre. You were there."
"Enough!" Tara Grayson cried. "We know what the Mad King said."
So the king had been insane when he designated Logan as his heir. It wasn't a perfect line of attack, but it was good enough. Given time, Mama Kay would have reminded everyone of the timing of the coup, of the irrelevance of the king's sanity to the legality of his decrees, and of Logan's marriage to Janine. Given time, Mama Kay could have orchestrated pressure from all sides to get Tara to surrender her claim. Now, all that was immaterial. She simply had to wait for the inevitable.
"My lady," Duke Havrin Wesseros said, "they say only what would be said in back rooms and great rooms throughout the kingdom, if there were time. It seems to me that we all have decisions to make now, and little time in which to make them."
"I won't hear their lies,"
Tara hissed.
"Don't you see?"
Duke Weseros said. If you won't hear them out, Logan will leave. And he won't leave alone. He'll take half of our army with him, maybe more. Does anyone fancy taking on the Kaladorans with half an army?
Closer. But you're worried about the wrong person leaving.
Aegon said, As you say, the king was mad when he died. The Sakage poisoned him at the feast.
Poisoned? You murdered him, Brant!
Geralt Urver cried out.
Yes. I killed him, Aegon said. I won't justify that deed now. What's important is that Kalador wished to wipe out the royal family to cause exactly this. They wished to split any resistance before it could begin. King Gunder saw that coming, which is why, not the night of the coup when he was poisoned, but earlier in the day, he married his daughter Janine to Logan. Many of you have sworn oaths to Lady Grayson, but your fealty was already owed to Logan Gyre. Thus, you are released from your oaths to the Duchess.
I release none of you!
Tara Grayson shrilled. Pandemonium broke out. Nobles were screaming at each other, gathering in clumps to talk with their advisers and the lords closest to them. Some pressing toward Tara Grayson, others pressing toward Logan. Logan watched it all, impassive. He understood, too.
Hold on, Duke Weseros said.
He looked a lot like his sister Nalia, the last queen. He'd been out of the city checking on lands the Lee Nought had seized in eastern Cenaria when the coup had occurred. He raised his hands and gradually the nobles quieted.
The hour grows late, and an army waits for us, Duke Weseros said. Stand to the side of the man or the woman you would have rule us.
Why don't you vote with the stones instead, that people may vote for who they truly wish to lead?
Mama Kay said. Inwardly, she cursed. She should have let one of the other lords suggest it, but Weseros had brought up voting so quickly that Mama Kay hadn't had the chance. All the talk was worth nothing if they didn't have a blind vote.
Tomorrow we must stand on the field of battle. I think today we have the courage to stand in a tent,
Tara Grayson said, clever bitch.
Silence fell again, and then people started moving. Mama Kay had been depressingly accurate in her estimations of who would end up where. For the most part, the minor nobles looked like they would prefer to go to Logan, but didn't dare defy their lords, which was why Mama Kay had wanted the blind vote. Tara had concentrated her bribes on the powerful. As it was, they had a three-way split. Logan, Tara, and undecided.
As I expected, Duke Weseros said. He led the undecided camp.
The rhetoric has done nothing. With the assassination of the Gunders, only three great families are left in our country, and here we stand. It seems to me that there is a golden mean, a middle way. Logan Gyre, Tara Grayson, with the fate of all your countrymen at stake, will you put aside your own selfish ambitions?
The buffoon, the idiot, the pox-ridden windbag.
He thought he was being smart. If the Duke hadn't created a third camp, Logan at least would have had a majority. They would still have had a chance.
What are you talking about? Tara asked.
Logan already knew. Mama Kay could see it in his stony face. This night, on the eve of a battle that will determine the future of our land, will you split our forces, or will you join them? Logan, Tara, will you marry tonight?
Tara looked around the room quickly, judging who stood with her. Her support was eroding. She looked at those who stood defiant on Logan's side, those who stood passive with Duke Weseros. Then she looked at Logan. It wasn't the look a woman gives a suitor. It was a probe for weakness.
For the country I love, yes, Tara Grayson said.
Logan?
Yes,
Logan said woodenly.
Gods help him.